KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
And hopefully you're having a great Thursday. Thanks for joining us. Our engineer, Rochelle, back in studio after a brief break. Appreciate her taking the helm and getting us on the air today. Coming up on June 29th, you might want to mark this on your calendar, especially if you're a fan of veterans and animals. The San Diego Golf Club will be hosting the 18th annual New Mexico Enchanted Golf Open. That's Saturday, June 29th. Registration starts at 7 o'clock that morning, but it supports Animal Humane Society and Paws and Stripes, who we've had on the air. They train up animals, dogs specifically, to work with veterans. This is a great couple of nonprofits that'll benefit from that. But snacks provided is as per usual. Awards, of course, they'll have an auction to raise money. But 100% of the proceeds after the cost of the tournament go to support these charities. You'll find registration information at birdease.com/NMK9. That's birdease.com/NMK9. Or probably just do a search for the New Mexico Enchanted Golf Open, and you'll find where to get signed up. Another opportunity to reach out to nonprofits in our area. Hey, hopefully this on your calendar as well. Just shortly before the tournament will be Freedom Celebration at Balloon Fiesta Park. That is a free event. Now, parking will be a cost for you, but we'll continue to bring you details on that as it draws nearer. They'll have the Extreme Nitro Circus, a car show, the fun zone for the kids and family, food trucks, and of course, live music. Lecrae is scheduled to be part of it. Ben Fuller, Rave Jesus, and Citizen Worship locally, and one more that Chandler Moore actually on the list of those performing. You'll hear a gospel message from Skip Heitzig and Andrew Palau, and fireworks as always. Invite everyone out to this free event Saturday, June 27th, Balloon Fiesta Park, and look for the details at freedomabq.com. In studio with us for the full hour today, Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, thanks for coming in again.
Good to be back with you.
RioGrandeFoundation.org, and we're going to be taking plenty of information from the Errors of Enchantment website, errorsofenchantment.com. And Paul, the first topic we cover, something we've talked about in the past, education here in New Mexico. We know it continues to be at the bottom of the list when it comes to scores on a national scale, and we've also talked about how much money is set aside per student, and that just continues to go up. Is it making a difference?
Unfortunately, no. The short answer is no. The more we've spent here in New Mexico and here in Albuquerque, APS specifically, results have continued to remain depressed or even gone down. The latest information is from a Albuquerque Journal article that I did a write-up on for errorsofenchantment.com, and pretty simply put, we are now up to $36,859 a student in spending. That, by the way, is 22% higher than the most expensive K-12 institution in the state of New Mexico, Albuquerque Academy. I don't even have to tell you how much more it is than the kids' school that my kids go to, which is a Catholic school here in the city, but that's a little over $6,000. And you don't have to obviously send your kid to the academy. And the academy may not be worth it for some particular students with special needs and whatnot, but the point remains that over time, New Mexico, APS are spending more and more money. Why do I say New Mexico and APS? Because New Mexico, the state, provides funding for all the districts. We have a centralized school funding setup in this state. And so as the oil and gas money has come in, money has increased for K-12, and results have not kept pace. Also, there is money that's raised locally through property taxes and capital expenses. And we all know, anybody who pays attention, that APS has built some very nice buildings, and they have seen their student population drop by 27,000 kids in the last 15 years. And based on birth rates and New Mexico's slow growth patterns, we are going to see that number decline rather dramatically in the years ahead.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, fertility rates around the globe are dropping, specifically in New Mexico. And actually, I didn't think about this much, Paul, but, you know, fewer students, and even if they didn't get a larger amount from the state or wherever it's coming from, that would obviously be a easy math reason for the increase per student, in addition to the decrease in students. So each student having more funds available, did they also get an increase in how much?
It's a twofer. They get a spending increase, or a budget increase. It's up to $2.35 billion for the district, which is up, you know, a few hundred million annually. As we have seen the student population just absolutely plummet and show every sign of continuing to plummet, here's the most relevant numbers in that way. 15 years ago, APS's student population was on the order of 86,000 kids. 25-26. So this school year we're currently in, almost coming to an end of, 63,833. This is all according to the journal's reporting and the APS's own numbers. By 2930, that school year, so we're just talking 4 years from now, 54,672 students. Another massive decline. And again, when does this end? We don't know. Birth rates and migration patterns have to change. Some of this we can change at the state level. Obviously, I'm not talking about cutting education spending, but I do think we should constrain it. I'm talking about being a more competitive state, having more attractive options for families and educational system performance and all that kind of stuff to bring people in here, to keep families here in New Mexico. But a lot of it, as you said, it's birth rates, and they're declining, not just here in New Mexico, not just in the United States, but around the world. And I don't know the answer to that. And that is, as they say in the biz, beyond my pay grade.
Yeah.
I have three daughters. That is above the replacement rate. So I've done my part.
Well, I and six for me. You know, I want to mention a couple days ago, and this isn't the only alternative. You know, we're talking about APS and the problem with it really not doing anything to increase the rates for the scores nationwide for education in New Mexico. But that is a big part of the reason, just part of the reason, that every month we feature really an alternative to what's available in public school, and feature a different private or Christian school, specifically Lelew's Christian School, Lelew's Christian Academy .org is actually the featured school this month on KLYT.FM on the homepage. You can find out more about them on the homepage there. And, of course, look through ABQ Connect for many of the other schools around the state, including in Clovis and Las Cruces places. You know, there's just alternatives for you. Paul mentioned he's selected an alternative, as have many other parents. And the amount of students at APS just seems to continually go down. And Paul, before we put a bow on this, I did want to ask you, you know, simple logic. The scores continue to be low, and the money keeps being, you know, shifted up, and we're not seeing change. It's akin to, you know, I go get my car painted, and hey, that paint you used and the guy that painted it did a terrible job. Oh, hey, we'll redo it. Okay, good. I'll pay you more and do all the same things, and we'll get the same results. when you come to those who are, I would assume, claiming APS is doing just a fine job, are they claiming that they've made changes to the content or the style of teaching or anything other than building more buildings?
Well, there are changes being made slowly but surely, both at the state level and at the district level at APS. And while the governor is quick to tout supposed improvements in reading and other state test scores, I don't quite frankly give those much credence, because we're the only state really using these tests. And there is the NAEP test, which I talk about regularly, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, aka the nation's report card, given every 2 years. It probably has already been given to the kids who are going to take it, and the results will be released later on this year. That's one component of what I want to talk about is, yes, the results have not been improved by all of this money. Secondly, while this money does predominantly come from the state level, the state pours money into the education funding formula. All districts across the state receive that money regardless of their performance. There are opportunities for our APS school board right here in the city of Albuquerque to make needed changes. And what they should be doing is, quite frankly, looking at school buildings and facilities that they don't need anymore or aren't going to need based on current trends. Because at some point in time, we're going to just see empty school buildings all over the city. And they're already low in terms of the numbers of kids in them. But we desperately need to right-size the district. And that, quite frankly, has not been done at APS. And they're talking about building a facility on the west side for special needs kids in spending, I think, $15 or so million for that. And it's like, guys, you have facilities all over this city. Shut some down, put them on the tax rolls, put some houses on them, make them a value to the community, and use the existing infrastructure for so-called new facilities that you think you need. There's no need for a brand new building out of whole cloth.
All right. Hey, before we go to a break, I wanted to touch on another posting you put at errorsofenchantment.org on the, .com, errorsofenchantment.com, on New Mexico's heavily subsidized film industry failing, according, and that's actually according to the film industry, not to New Mexico. And, you know, this was something, Paul, when it showed up, a lot of people were excited, including those that may oppose it now. It's just kind of one of those shiny things that seems like a cool thing to have in our state. And the truth is, it's really not helping many, if any.
No, the film industry is yet another way that we spend lots of our tax dollars here in the state of New Mexico. And it has grown tremendously in terms of the money that we've spent. Now, I guess the good news about the Hollywood film industry in New Mexico is that if they're not filming here, they're not taking the subsidies from the taxpayers.
Yeah.
But that is certainly something we can get into a little bit more.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation for the full hour. RioGrandeFoundation.org. And we'll return to some of these articles that Paul has written for errorsofenchantment.com. That's coming up next on ABQ Connect. All right. A full hour today with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. I mentioned already a couple of websites, RioGrandeFoundation.org and errorsofenchantment.com. The second, the latter URL is where you'll find the content we're covering today. Paul, I did mean to ask you, tippingpointnm.com, what will people find there and maybe what's on the horizon?
Wow, there is a lot on there. The last story we just did, or the last interview, was with some folks who had put together a very robust database and website, maps, all kinds of information. You just click on it and it shows you the different maps of federal dependency, which states are truly the most dependent on Washington, D.C., and in what ways. And New Mexico is definitely among those states, depending on how you look at things. But in most cases, New Mexico is very heavily dependent, and it shows up in that information.
I haven't seen the list. Can I throw some at you? We'll see if I'm close. Right, New Mexico, California, Minnesota, New York.
Well, it depends. So there's different ways. You know, we can get
that's a whole nother.
I'm happy to take a sidetrack here because this is obviously an issue that we talk about. But I actually have a post and a link to the website in question at heirsofenchantment.com. And if you go to the site, it's there's a lot of information. We try to post something every single day. But the website was put there, was created by folks from Massachusetts. And it's you can go to the front page of heirsofenchantment.com and find out how New Mexico is and is not dependent. So things like civilian federal payroll. So those are people who obviously are not military.
Civil servants.
Yes. Yeah. And how much they get paid. And we do have a significant number of those folks, but we're not the highest. As you can imagine, Virginia, Maryland, states surrounding Washington, D.C. I mean, the Pentagon's right smack dab there in the largest office building, I believe, in the world, right there in Virginia. So defense spending, we're a pretty high state on that, but not the highest. Intergovernment transfers. Now, what does that mean? That means your Medicaid and your welfare programs. That's actually where we stick out. But, you know, New Mexico is a state with many different aspects to it in terms of its reliance on the federal government. And then you can go in and check out, well, is it per capita? Is that per person? Percentage of income. So we tend to be higher in that because we have low incomes here in New Mexico. In other ways, so you can present it in all manner of information in different ways. I would say that while New Mexico is inevitably going to be high on the list in terms of our dependency due to 40%+ of our acreage being owned by the federal government in one shape or form.
Wow.
Three Air Force bases, Kirtland right here in Albuquerque.
Cannon
Holloman. And Holloman.
Yeah.
White Sands Missile Range. We have, of course, National Forest Service, Bureau of Land Management. And by the way, congrats to former Congressman Steve Pierce for becoming recently the head of the Bureau of Land Management. So somebody with expertise in those lands here in New Mexico and their value and the production they provide. So I know that was a bit of a sidetrack.
No, it's good.
You know me. I can talk about anything on our website. So,
We do want to talk about some of these other things that found at heirsofenchantment.com. We mentioned over a year ago, the governor's desire to have early child care at no cost to those using it, regardless of their income. And you wrote an article saying that our governor claims she has claims that are without evidence. As New Mexico's workforce participation rate has plummeted, I guess the idea was to have this free child care so our workforce could grow. And
exactly.
Not happening.
And this gets, you know, we just talked about birth rates and whatnot. And one could make the argument. In fact, I'm reading some articles arguing this case that somehow providing things like free child care are a way to boost our birth rates while also increasing workforce participation, because the assumption, I have seen zero hard data to this effect, but the assumption is, well, if a mom can dump her kid off at a daycare facility for free at taxpayers' expense when they're 6 or 9 months, a year old, whenever they decide to do it, that they are more likely to have more kids and to also then be able to participate in the workforce. Now, again, I have seen zero evidence. None was provided. The governor did this by herself on November 1st of last year, 2025, in terms of creating this program, which there's a lawsuit around that, and we'll talk about that in a second. And then the legislature adopted this program in the session that passed back in January through March of this year. So we have no data. There was never data presented showing specifically, here's what we expect. In fact, I said, because the governor recently was in the Albuquerque Journal saying, this is workforce development, free childcare. Well, I'll just read her own words. If we don't build the workforce in the future and give parents real choices, you will not have a workforce in the future. That is basically the idea the governor has, is that this is going to build our workforce. Well, I went to the data because unlike too many media outlets and certainly too many politicians in our state, they don't look at the data. Well, there are data from the Federal Reserve Bank where they look at labor force participation rates. New Mexico had been in November of 2025, 58.1%. That number has declined to 56.8% since November through March of this year. So that is clearly...
But people are taking advantage of the free childcare.
People are indeed. Now...
Is it, I mean, it's speculation, but are people who were already working and trying to find other places for childcare going, oh, we don't need to pay for it anymore. I'll continue working and move them over to this free childcare.
That is my assumption and assertion that that is what is happening, is that people are saying, well, sure, if you're going to pay for it, I will take you up on it. But, we have no evidence at this time that this program, Universal Free Childcare, improves workforce participation rates at all.
So we'll keep an eye on it.
And I will add this, New Mexico for years. You can look at this chart and you go to heirsofenchantment.com again and look at this chart. I have data. Again, it's Federal Reserve Bank data. It's not my own. Going back to the 1980s, New Mexico in the 90s and that time frame had workforce participation rates that hovered between 62.5% and 65%. We had a very high level of workforce participation rate, not relative to other states necessarily, but certainly much higher than where we are right now.
Right. You probably know better than I. Is that Governor Johnson's time or
that's Governor Johnson's
maybe
time. Clinton administration in Washington,
Tony Anaya,
by and large,
even in there maybe,
yeah, and we've dropped dramatically. Now how do we change and improve and go back? How do we recapture those high levels? You would think we would have some pretty good opportunities to do that, especially given the amount of oil and gas money. We need a driven effort. Instead, it's just spend more money, ready, fire, aim, and hope that it works out. Now, on that note, there's one other thing about this. The second story I wanted to talk about is the fact that the governor did this out of whole cloth starting in November of 2025 without the legislature. And Duke Rodriguez is a candidate for governor on the Republican ticket. He also has been suing in different areas, and he sued the governor and got the judge, who was a New Mexico judge, a Lujan Grisham appointed judge, who said, no, you can't by yourself as the governor of New Mexico create new government programs without having the legislature pass them first. And that's exactly what she did. And I think it is totally reasonable that the New Mexico Supreme Court in a few months throws out this entire program, because imagine if you did it on the opposite side. We'll use Gary Johnson, since he was a good libertarian, limited government person, and if he decided to do things the way Michelle Lujan Grisham wanted to do them. So November of 1 year, Gary Johnson's in office, and he just says, you know, we're just going to send everybody who collects the personal income tax home. We're not collecting personal income tax in the state of New Mexico anymore. Well, how would that work? And then he pressures the legislature and says, you guys need to approve this now when you come back into office, or we're just going to blame you for your for you raising taxes on New Mexicans. Well, that's not the way government's supposed to work. I've watched enough Saturday morning cartoons about a bill becoming a law and Schoolhouse Rock to know that that's not the way things go in our government. So we'll see. This is one that's definitely a TBD, or stay tuned, and we'll see where it goes with regard to the free child care program.
All right, more to come. We're visiting with Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Go to riograndefoundation.org, and all of the stories that we're covering, you'll find that Paul has posted at errorsofenchantment.com. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more right after this on ABQ Connect. Hey, thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. Celebrate 250 is Celebrate America 250 at the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center. It's happening June 25th, a little more than a month away. There'll be a luncheon hosted by the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. I want people to have the details about it, but I don't want them to go away because, you know, we've talked today about a lot. You know, we don't often have good news, and that's a good news thing we want to make sure people know about. But
absolutely.
Are the details already posted at Rio Grande Foundation?
Yeah, the details for... We have multiple events coming up in the month of June. June 3rd, we have Anastasia Bowden of Pacific Legal Foundation, a nonprofit legal firm, a conservatively oriented group that works with the Supreme Court, works at the Supreme Court, I should say. She will be doing a preview. Typically, folks may recall that every year, kind of late June for a couple weeks, the court releases their opinions that, you know, they've gotten busier over the years, seemingly, with other things that have happened throughout the middle of the year. But they typically have their hearings in the wintertime, January, February, March, I guess. And then they have their hearings, rulings in late June that they're released. So she'll be talking about that on June 3rd. This is at riograndefoundation.org/events.
Yeah. So
that's one. And we also have, and I know it's so easy to get sidetracked, but it's so important.
No, it is.
We have a very narrowly divided Congress. We also have elections in November, and there are real concerns as to whether Republicans control both houses in Congress after that, and what that means for the Supreme Court, and yeah, specifically replacing two of what I consider the goats of Supreme Court justices, greatest of all time, Justice Thomas and Justice Alito. Now, if those two gentlemen were to retire like today, that would obviously be a loss for the courts, but it would give the president the opportunity to replace them. They're also two of the oldest, they're the two oldest justices.
Yeah.
So yeah, replace them with younger conservative jurists who are of that ilk. Fast forward to January. You may have a different Congress, and you know, obviously,
right,
the president will still be the same, but who can you get through the U.S. Senate at that point?
Oh,
will
yeah,
that person be able to carry the banner of an originalist like a Justice Thomas or Justice Alito? So
yeah,
she'll be talking about those on our June 3rd
Very good.
Event.
Sorry well,
to ramble.
No, not at all. Not at all. And actually, I mean, I need to give kudos, I think, to Mike Johnson for some of the things he's been able to make happen as close as the votes are in Washington right now with the House and the Senate. And yeah, it won't get any easier if things, you know, lean one way. So, all right, let's jump into this article that you posted at errorsofenchantment.com. New Mexico Senators Heinrich mm-hmm. and Lujan co-sponsor anti-school choice legislation. What does this mean for parents considering their child's education?
So New Mexico is a state that doesn't do a lot when it comes to school choice. And school choice is a broad term that has lots of different meanings to a lot of different people. So I'll try to work through that while we talk about this $1,700 tax credit that the federal government is offering. Now, a tax credit, starting with that, means that assuming that you have a tax bill to the feds of over $1,700, You can take a credit against that. You won't pay any more in taxes, but you can give up to $1,700 under this program to a third party, a nonprofit organization, 501c3, that will be set up in your state or across the country. So there'll be multiple ones in New Mexico if we participate, and multiple ones in other states that participate. And those organizations will in turn provide scholarships and grants to children and charter schools and traditional public schools for various things relating to education outside of the classroom and outside of the school structure. So it could be field trips for a charter school, could be tutoring for a traditional public school, or it could be tuition for a non-public or private school that requires tuition payments. So $1,700 a person. This program was part of the big, beautiful bill that passed last year. Currently, states are determining whether they are going to join the program and participate next year or not. Almost all the red states have jumped on board. A couple of blue states have as well, and by red or blue, I mean who their governor is. Jared Polis in Colorado has said yes. He said, what am I, an idiot? I'm going to take free money every single time. So he was an early signer. New York's Governor Kathy Hochul just joined the program. Our own governor has not. She said she's waiting for the regulations to be promulgated by the federal government, and it she'll decide then. This decision will be the governor's, our governor, because as soon as the new year starts, when she leaves office, they will have to have new tax forms and all kinds of new information to give people the option to opt in or opt out of this federal credit program. So that is one, and I think a very robust form of school choice that people will have available to them if we participate. We don't know what the governor's going to do at this point, but we're certainly hoping, and I highly encourage folks out there, go to Michelle Lujan Grisham's governor, you know, her page officially as governor, contact her and send her an email along the lines of, I encourage you to please support the $1,700 federal tax credit contained in a big, beautiful bill for school choice. Doesn't have to be anything fancy, but we need New Mexicans to be putting pressure on Governor Lujan Grisham to sign up for this. Otherwise, if we don't sign up, I'll still take the tax credit because I support school choice not just for New Mexico kids. I think every child in this country should be entitled to school choice. So I will gladly have my money, $1,700 worth, taken from Washington, D.C. and the bloated federal bureaucracy and share that with another state, whether it's Texas, Ohio, New Hampshire, Florida, or some other state. But
it seems like any governor who would say no to this would be akin to a parent who said, you know, I don't know if it was part of the Great Big Beautiful Bill, but the early savings for kids that the president has made available for people say, no, I don't want that for my child.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Heinrich and Lujan. Where do they fit in? Well, the Big Beautiful Bill passed in this Congress. It passed over the objections and no votes of Heinrich and Lujan, our U.S. senators. They have introduced, or co-sponsored, I should say, a bill in Washington to overturn, to repeal that particular program, that aspect of the Big Beautiful Bill. Now, this is 100% about messaging and the support they get from the unions. The teachers' unions tend to support just more money for education, more money for the bureaucracy, no accountability, no competition, because they benefit. Their bottom line, their political power rests on money flowing into that education system and flowing really to them, the unions. So those two have sponsored a bill that will go absolutely nowhere. I don't need a crystal ball to tell this because the same Congress that passed this bill with the same president is not going to go back in the next few months and overturn this thing. So, yes, will they likely sponsor a similar bill next Congress? Sure, absolutely, they will do that. President Trump will still have the veto pen and be able to veto it if that were to hit his desk. But it is all about them showing, hey, guys, unions, we support you. We don't want any of this icky school choice, even though New Mexico is dead last, ranked 52nd in education.
All right. If you just joined us, Paul Gessing, the president of Rio Grande Foundation, with us for the entire hour today. We have more to come, a couple more articles that he's prepared for Errors of Enchantment. And I would encourage you to go to the website as well at riograndefoundation.org. And earlier in the show, I mentioned the podcast, tippingpointnm.com. All great places to get a lot of the information that we're talking about today and much more. We're going to cover more when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. All right. Thanks for joining us. A full hour today with the president of Rio Grande Foundation, Paul Gessing, in studio with us. You know, Paul, earlier in the hour, we started talking about the film industry, and it is the film industry, not us in New Mexico, are mentioning or vocalizing just how poorly it's going in New Mexico.
Yeah. So as a bit of a background on this, back during the Richardson administration, New Mexico started to offer a 25% refundable tax credit. So if a Hollywood studio came to New Mexico and wanted to film, and just off the, say, $100,000, well, the taxpayers of New Mexico would hand them a check for $25,000. That's a pretty fancy deal for any industry, 25 cents on the dollar. So then when Susana Martinez took over as governor from Bill Richardson, she got the legislature. Remember, she was dealing with a hostile Democrat-controlled legislature. She got a $50 million cap placed on how much the state would pay out every year. Helped with smoothing budgets. Remember, those days we didn't have money flowing out of our ears like we do
now
with oil and gas.
First come, first serve on that? Or
yes. Well, then if you hit $50 million, it would be a debt that the state of New Mexico would owe to Hollywood. And okay. I thought that that might be outrageous enough people to go ahead and, you know, get rid of this thing. Because when Governor Lujan Grisham took over, there was a $225 to $300 million backlog that $50 million credit had kind of limited the state to. So there's this debt that we owed Hollywood. Lujan Grisham also expanded the film credit to up to 40%. So now you spend $100,000 here, you can get a check for $40,000 from the state of New Mexico, which is insane to me. And you can film while you are in a taxpayer-subsidized building, a film studio, specifically Santa Fe Studios, which went up for sale last July, is still on the market, received tens of millions of dollars from the taxpayers locally up there and other dollars as a further inducement for Hollywood to come here and film. Well, the Albuquerque Journal did an article. It's actually about Martin Heinrich pushing back against living costs increases here in New Mexico. But they interviewed a woman named Giovanni Urbina, who works in film. She's a member of the union. And she said the following: she may lose her health insurance by the end of September if she doesn't secure a new film production job. At one point, she said there were between 10 and 15 productions filming in the state. Now there's only one. And that is a trend that has deeply impacted certainly Hollywood itself, but also New Mexico here. Now, we're not spending nearly as much money. Obviously, there's not as much filming going on, but what happens to the people who flooded into New Mexico over the last decade or two to take these opportunities? It's an open question. Are they going to be now receiving food stamps and Medicaid and all these government services? It's an open question. But the point is, New Mexico has spent hundreds of millions of dollars to attract and prop up Hollywood for what? It is not a long-term industry gain. The Santa Fe Studios has been on the market now for just under a year, and nobody's, to my knowledge, bought them. this is an industry that's quite frankly dying. And New Mexico, again, needs to focus on broad-based tax reduction, economic reforms that make our state more attractive to any business that wants to come here, not politicians in Santa Fe picking and choosing and say, oh, we like this one, we don't like that one, we do like this one, and then handing checks for hundreds of millions of dollars to the ones that they like. And that's the moral of the story.
Well, and in visits past, Paul, you and I have talked about, I guess it would fall under economic development, the recruiting of companies to come in. And I think there's more than one solar company, yep. But I think last time you were here, it looked like one was going to decide not to make it happen, and that looked like the way it was going, and now it's official.
Yeah, there were two. Ebon Solar is the one that was just reported in the Albuquerque Journal, officially gave up the ghost in terms of a solar panel manufacturing facility. The governor had held a press conference. Maxeon Solar, another one. These two companies were both supposed to build these massive factories and create all kinds of jobs and economic development. Of course, they were going to receive very ample subsidies, maybe not quite film level subsidies, but certainly very large. Ebon Solar was supposed to build a $942 million manufacturing facility at Mesa del Sol. And I had said, so Maxeon last month, as you just mentioned, Maxeon had pulled out and said, we're not going forward. And I said, Ebon at the time, the reporter for the Albuquerque Journal, had said, I tried to call him, I didn't get anybody live, I left a message, never returned. Things aren't looking good at Ebon. And I said, yeah, that means they're not coming here. Well, sure enough, that same reporter finally got the goods on Ebon, and indeed, they are not coming here. So the good news is we're not having to pay a bunch of subsidies for these solar manufacturing companies to come here. The bad news is that these were, in many ways, I think, the centerpiece of the governor's economic development agenda. All we've done with this governor during her 8 years in office has been watch the oil and gas industry pour money into the state. The state expands new government programs, pre-K, free childcare, more money for K-12, free college. And we continue to struggle economically, high poverty, low economic performance, low academic performance. And it's because we don't do the right things economically. But most businesses that succeed don't need government paychecks and money to come and do business. And unfortunately, New Mexico's politicians remain attached to that concept because they want those businesses beholden to them.
Well, there's a real great way for you to communicate to the legislature, to the Roundhouse in Santa Fe, and locally in your community. June 2nd is primary coming up here, Paul. If people are registered to vote and actually get out and vote, they have opportunity to see change, to put people in place that have the citizens of New Mexico ahead of other things that seem to have taken precedence in years past. But a great opportunity. And I know that you continue with the team at Rio Grande Foundation to post at the website, not only heirsofenchantment.com, but riograndefoundation.org. Resources available there for people to consider?
Absolutely, yeah. Check it all out. Our podcast, Tipping Point New Mexico, Heirs of Enchantment, our blog, which has all these great stories, riograndefoundation.org, which has, among other things, our vote tracking freedom index.
All right.
And yeah, people need to get informed.
Well, riograndefoundation.com/events. Paul mentioned the Supreme Court review with the Pacific Legal Foundation's Anastasia Bowden coming up June 3rd. Go look for details about that and more. Paul, thanks for your time, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.